For the rest of us, we can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. It's found on page 1017 in your pew Bibles. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 11, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Ephesians 1. In him, according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will, we who first hoped in Christ have been destined and appointed to live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he called you, which are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe, according to the working of his great might, which he accomplished in Christ when he raised him from the dead and made him sit at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
Eternal God, give you thanks for your grace with us here this morning. I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. Last month, on the first Sunday in October, we celebrated World Communion Sunday. During that Sunday, when we lifted up the fact that we are one with Christians all over the world, we reminded ourselves of that by acknowledging that there are Christians in places like Egypt and Pakistan and Korea and Africa, but again, we acknowledge that we are one with them, that those dividing walls that often separate people around the world have come tumbling down in the Lord Jesus Christ. So together with believers all over the world, we comprise the body of Christ, and we reminded ourselves of that on World Communion Sunday, on the first Sunday of October. But this Sunday, the first Sunday in November, is called All Saints Sunday. And on this Sunday, we celebrate the fact that we are one not only with Christians around the world, but that we are also one with those Christians who have come before us, those faithful men and women who throughout the ages have passed the faith down to us and taught us what it means to live as people of hope. Even though they have departed and gone to be with the Lord, we are still one with them, still connected with them. And so we gather together on this day to remind ourselves that we are not alone, but that we stand in the midst of a great cloud of witnesses stretching back through the generations. Several years ago, there was a movie. I believe that it was made here in Philadelphia. Bruce Willis was one of the actors. But in the movie, there was a little boy who went around announcing that he sees dead people. Caused a great deal of alarm because death is something that you're not supposed to talk about, at least not in our society, not in polite society. We are scared to death of death. But on All Saints Day, that's what we do. On All Saints Day, we announce to the whole world that we see people who have died, but now who are alive in Christ, and that we not only see them, but that we are in communion with them. I think that's part of what the Apostle Paul means in our text this morning when he prays that the eyes of our hearts will be opened, so that we might know the hope to which God has called us. There are some things that cannot be seen with the regular eye. There are some things that can only be seen by the heart, a heart that has been shaped and conditioned by the glorious promises of God among the saints. And on All Saints Day, we see with our hearts all of those who have gone before us and obtained the glorious inheritance of eternal life. Robert Dunham, in Feasting on the Word, recalls the story of a young English preacher who served a small congregation. At the end of the evening service, he would always administer the Lord's Supper to anyone who remained at the conclusion of the service. But one night, so few people stayed that he questioned whether he should observe the sacrament, but he decided to proceed. But in the midst of the liturgy, he read part of the great prayer that says, "Therefore, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name." He read it again, "with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven." And then he prayed, "God, forgive me, because I didn't realize I was in such company." Friends, this morning we are in such company. This morning I would invite you to see with your hearts the generation of saints that have flowed through this congregation over the years. I would invite you to see the generations of Sunday school classes and Boy Scout troops that have flowed through this church. I would invite you to see the generations of chancel choirs and youth choirs, the generation of teachers and elders and deacons, the generations of people who Sunday after Sunday sat in these very pews, the very pews that you are sitting in this morning, and worked hard to guide and to nurture future generations of the faith. I would invite you to see with your own hearts all of those dearly departed saints who have touched you personally, who have loved you and known you and guided you and nurtured you in the faith. Maybe it was a grandmother who prayed for you during difficult moments in your childhood. Maybe it was a spouse who believed in you when no one else believed in you. Maybe it was a parent who labored for you and sacrificed to give you opportunities that they never had. Maybe it was a pastor who guided and nurtured you into spiritual maturity. Maybe it was someone who passed away a long time ago, or maybe it was someone who passed away somewhat recently. But they are all here this morning. They're all alive in Christ. They're all part of the communion of saints. And so I hope that you see them. I'll tell you this morning what I see with my own heart and what I see every All Saints Day when I too search with the eyes of my heart. On All Saints Day, what I see this morning is my grandmother who taught me early the stories of the Bible and who was the matriarch, the spiritual matriarch of our extended family. She is here this morning. She is part of the communion of the saints. I see this morning my pastor that I grew up with as a child, the pastor who helped to guide me and to nurture me in the faith, a real saint, a real man of God, a man who would give you the coat off his back if you asked, and his shirt too. When our family first joined the Little Church of Christ on National Street in Springfield, Missouri, most of the people at the little church were quite nice and polite. One man would even bring extra produce from his farm and give it to our family. But this was in the mid-70s, and there were still many people who believed that people of different races should not worship together. And so gradually, many of them left. And it would have been easy for our pastor, Brother Collins, to have left too. Many of the members of the church were his neighbors and friends, but he did not leave. At great sacrifice to himself and his family, he stayed. And the little church continued to be of service to our family and to the community. As a teenager, my pastor would take me with him to homeless shelters and to 12-step programs on the seedy side of town where he would lead Bible studies and hymn sings. In fact, our little church became sort of a spiritual way station for people who were down and out. And every time I think of my own place now as a pastor, I owe it to him, for good or for bad. But he is here today. He is part of the communion of the saints. I think of the elder Sister Reese this morning. I see her here this morning, the lady who set me down and taught me the Old Testament. We went through the whole of the Old Testament in 1 year in Sunday school when I was 12 years old. And she was very diligent in teaching me and my brothers the Old Testament in Sunday school. And she's here this morning. I see her. I see her with the eyes of my heart. She's here this morning. She is part of the communion of the saints. And I also see Ocelia McCarthy. I didn't know her. I just read about her, but she impressed me very, very much. She was a woman who was born at the turn of the last century in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. She was not someone who was very noticeable in the community. She was the woman who laundered most of the clothes in little Hattiesburg. She had dropped out of school in the sixth grade in order to care for her aunt. But when her aunt got better, she didn't return to school. All of her friends had gone on and advanced, and she felt awkward returning back to school with people who were in class younger than she was. And so she spent the next 75 years laundering clothes, washing people's clothes, scrubbing and cleaning and ironing, day in and day out, sun up and sun down. Never married, never went back to school, never received an education, never learned how to drive a car, just washed and ironed other people's clothes. No one ever called her a saint. She was just Miss Osceola, the washwoman. But at the ripe old age of 87, she astounded the whole town when she gave $150,000, her whole life savings, to the University of Southern Mississippi for black scholarships. This washerwoman who never received an education, who spent her whole life working and saving in order to provide an education for other people, is indeed a saint. And she is here this morning. She is in this place. She is part of the communion of the saints. But that's not all I see this morning. I also see others. I see Ed Jose. He is here this morning. I see George Whitehill Jr. He is here this morning. Not the little frail George Whitehill that we might have remembered before his death, but George Whitehill, vigorous and strong. George Whitehill, in the company of the saints, he is here this morning. Dorothy Yates is here, and Maria Williams is here, and Mary Preston is here. They're all here this morning. They're all in this place. They're all here because they are all saints, people who are blessed by God and loved by God and sanctified by God. They're all here, all of them. And you are here too. You too are part of the communion of the saints. At our baptisms, we were blessed and we were set aside. At our baptisms, we were christened. We became little Jesuses. That's what it means to be baptized. That's what it means to be christened. We become little Christs. We are formed and shaped in his image. We are in him and we are a part of him. We become a part of his body. We become little Christs. And because we are little Christs, there's something else that I want you to see this morning. Something else that I hope you see with the eyes of your heart. Something else that I hope you don't overlook. I hope you see this morning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope you see him lifted up and sitting on the throne in heaven. I hope you see that he has been raised from the dead. I hope you see that all power and authority has been given to him. I hope you see that this morning. I hope you see that all things are under his feet. All things have been given unto him. I hope you see that he has the keys to both heaven and earth. I hope you see all of that this morning. I hope you see that because all of that is a part of our inheritance. All of that is a part of our own future. We are little Christs. And because we are little Christ, we share in his future. We have been raised anew with him, crucified with him, and raised anew with him. And our future is to be in glory with him. I hope we see that this morning. To be in glory with him. To be in glory right there with the rest of the saints. To be in glory right with those that we love who have departed. To be in glory with all of those around the world who belong to him, and all of those throughout the ages who have died in him, we will be in glory with him. That is our inheritance. The Apostle Paul, again and again, recognizes that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we belong to his future, a future that not even death can close down, a future that all the forces and powers of death is not able to overcome. We belong to that future. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means for us to be a saint. We belong to him, we belong to one another, and we belong to that vast company of people who have gone on before us. That vast company of people, some of the names which we have read this morning. That vast company of people who struggled to bring us the books of the Bible. That vast company of people, some of them who've been murdered, some of them who've been stoned, some of them themselves who've been crucified. That vast company of people who throughout the world, all over the world, proclaim who Jesus is, not only by how they live their lives, but also by how they die their deaths. We are part of that vast communion here this morning, the communion of the saints. So in this All Saints Day, in this day when we remember those who have departed, Let us also remember our own future, a future where death does not have the last word, but a future where the last word belongs to God, where the last word belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, where the last word is God's desire that we have abundant life, where the last word is that we, all of us, in Christ, have dominion over God's creation that God has given to the Lord. We share in that future. There's nothing that can close that future down. Not even death can close that future down. We are called to go out into the world and to proclaim that. We're called to go out into the world and to live that out. We're called to go out into the world and say, not only do we see the saints, but we are called to go out into the world to say that death no longer has any power over us. Death no longer has any power over the world. Death no longer has any power over our individual lives. Death no longer has any power over me, because we are saints. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to the one who has defeated death. Death no longer has any power over the world. We are saints. We belong to the God of life. Death no longer has any power over our churches, because we are one. We are one with the saints who are alive in Christ. Even now, death no longer has any power, because we belong to Jesus Christ and the communion of the faithful. Let us proclaim that good news, not only on this All Saints Day, but let us proclaim it on every Sunday as we gather together, not only among ourselves, but as we gather together with those saints, stretching back through all the generations whose presence we feel here this morning. Amen.